Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today on this Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany is a word that means to reveal, and we'll see how Jesus has been revealed to us through his word today. We begin our worship service today with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we ask you to direct our hearts and our minds so that our worship truly comes from our heart, that it gives praise to your holy name. And may our worship be pleasing to you through Jesus Christ, who has cleansed us from all sin. May you reveal to us and fill us with the only true wisdom, the wisdom of your salvation, Christ crucified and risen for us. We ask these things in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Arise and Shine in Splendor. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service as it's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin our Epiphany worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And by the authority and command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
We pray. O God, by the leading of a star, you made known your only begotten Son to the Gentiles. Lead us who know you by faith to enjoy in heaven the fullness of your divine presence. We pray this in Jesus' name, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. This prophecy of the Old Testament is often used on Epiphany Sunday because it speaks of the Gentiles coming to the light of Christ. In this particular translation, that word for Gentile is translated nations. That is what the Jews referred to as the Gentiles, as the others, the nations. And many translations will translate that word then, Gentile. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is dawning upon you. Look, darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness covers the peoples. But the Lord will dawn upon you, and his glory will be seen over you. Nations, that is Gentiles, will walk to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Look up, look all around and see. All of them have been gathered. They are coming to you. Your sons will come from far away, and people will carry your daughters on their side. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will race with excitement and burst with joy. For great riches from the sea will be delivered to you. The wealth of nations will come to you. Caravans of camels will cover your land, young camels from Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba will come. They will carry gold and incense, and they will announce the good news of the praise of the Lord." Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia. Gospel reading for today is from Matthew chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 12. Glory be to thee, O Lord. This gospel reading is the account of the wise men's visit to Jesus when he was in the, at this time, a house in Bethlehem. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, when Herod was king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was alarmed, and all Jerusalem with him. He gathered together all the people's chief priests and experts in the law. He asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, because this was written through the prophet, 'You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are certainly not least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" But Herod secretly summoned the wise men and found out from them exactly when the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report to me so that I may also go and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. Then the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stood still over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with overwhelming joy. After they went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Since they had been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. Here ends our gospel reading. Praise be to thee, O Christ. At this time, we invite our church officers who are present today to come forward for their installation. Dear brothers in Christ, you have been elected at the annual meeting of this congregation as members of our church council. As such, you are to join with me in the work of building up the kingdom of God among us. You are to see that worship services are held regularly, that they're conducted decently and in order, and that the gospel is preached in its purity, in accordance with the teachings of Scripture as laid out for us in the Lutheran confessions. You're also to help that the necessary provisions be made for the instruction of the young and that Christian discipline be maintained. You are to administer to the earthly affairs of this congregation, to keep its property in good repair, to provide for the support of our called workers, and for all other necessary expenses. You are to assist me, the pastor, in the care of all of our members, including the sick and the needy, in the cultivation of peace, harmony, and love among our members of our congregation, and also help in the promotion and general welfare of this congregation and the furtherance of Christ's kingdom here at home and abroad. You are also, as servants of Christ and as officers of his church, to set for your own households and for the whole congregation the example of a devout Christian life. In order then that the congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve, I ask you now in the presence of God and of this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully perform the duties of your office in conformity with the ordinances of God, the confessions of our church, and the constitution of this congregation, according to the ability which God gives you? If so, answer by saying, "Yes, with the help of God."
Yes, with the help of God.
Whereas you have made this solemn promise, I commit to you the exercise of your office to which you have been elected. I charge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the name of his church, of which he is the head, that you give all diligence to perform your duties with untiring faithfulness. Make the word of God your guide and search it daily for instruction. And to the end that your ministries may serve for the glory of God, for the best interests of this congregation, and for your own great joy, may God, without whom we can do nothing, with his grace bless abundantly all your faithful labors. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O most merciful and gracious God, you are an ever-present witness of all our promises and vows. We pray for Jesus' sake that you would send down your Holy Spirit upon these your servants, that they may discharge their duties with diligence, steadfastness, boldness, and wisdom. Grant them in particular the spirit of devotion and prayer, that in every time of need they may, by prayer and supplication, make their requests for the church known to you, and in this house lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Enable them in all things to show themselves patterns of good works, that by their lives they may build up your congregation, and that the enemies of your church may find no ground for complaint. Set them as a blessing to your believers. Keep them in sincere harmony with me, their pastor, and grant also that by their service the unity of this congregation may be strengthened, that your name be hallowed, that your kingdom be enlarged, and that your will be done. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Go then, dear brothers, as you have been called. Be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Depart in peace. I invite the congregation to please rise. We join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God. We'll do so with the words of the Nicene Creed as you find it printed in your bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, The Star Proclaims the King is Here. I invite you to stand for the last verse.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has been revealed to us not by a guiding star, but by his very own word, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Epiphany Sunday is taken from Ephesians chapter 3. We'll read verses 2 through 12. Surely you have heard of the administration of God's grace given to me for you, namely that the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. When you read this, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. This mystery was not made known to people in past generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that in Christ Jesus, the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and people who also share in the promise through the gospel. I became a servant of this gospel in keeping with the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. To me, even though I am the very least of all the saints, was given this grace, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to enlighten everyone about the administration of this mystery. In past ages, this mystery remained hidden in God, who created all things. He did this so that through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was done according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, we can freely approach God with confidence through faith in him. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. A few weeks ago, a good number of us had some secrets we needed to keep. We knew what was in those packages, the Christmas gifts that we'd purchased, but the ones who would receive those gifts did not know what lie beneath those neatly wrapped packages. On Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day, depending on your family tradition, the secrets of those gifts were revealed. As soon as that wrapping paper was ripped and the box was opened, the present, the gift, was no longer a secret. The contents had been revealed to the recipient. As was mentioned during the Christmas season, God gave us and all people throughout history a great gift, the greatest gift, on Christmas Day as well. It was a gift that God had promised to all people for centuries, thousands of years, in fact. But it wasn't fully revealed until Jesus was born on this earth. He was much like that gift that was waiting to be unwrapped and revealed, finally, on Christmas Day. Well, the gift concerning Jesus, our Savior, is described in our text and in a number of places in the Bible as being a mystery, a secret. It's not a secret that God tried to keep from people. It's a mystery in the sense that it's something, not a mystery in the sense of something that's unsolvable, but rather the mystery of Christ is something that must be revealed by God in order for us to truly see it. So today on Epiphany Sunday, I'll remind you that Epiphany Day is actually January 6th, though it would have been actually Friday was Epiphany Day, but we usually celebrate it the Sunday after Epiphany. So Epiphany Sunday, we celebrate the revealing of Jesus. Today we are celebrating the fact that God's mystery has been revealed in Jesus Christ. That's wonderful news. But we especially celebrate the fact that this mystery God has revealed to you and to me. As we consider again this mystery this morning, we need to remember how this word is used in the Bible. And I'll remind you again that this word mystery, when salvation speaks of it, is something that God did not want to keep a secret, but it is something that is only known to us because God had to show it to us. something we only know if He reveals it to us. So Epiphany is always a good reminder that we would know nothing, truly nothing, about our Savior Jesus. We certainly wouldn't believe in Him if God had not revealed Him to us through His Word. We would know nothing about how to inherit eternal life if God had not shown it to us and sent Jesus to be our Savior from sin. In a number of places, the Apostle Paul, who is the inspired writer of our text for today, writes about this mystery of God, a mystery of salvation that has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. God revealed it to Paul, and Paul in turn revealed it to his readers in a number of letters in the New Testament. Our text from Ephesians is one of those letters. Listen again to what Paul wrote to the Ephesians, who were themselves Gentiles, just like you and I, non-Jews. Let's read verses 2 through 6 of our text. Paul writes, "Surely you have heard of the administration of God's grace given to me for you, namely that the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. When you read this, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. This mystery was not made known to people in past generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that in Christ Jesus, the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and people who also share in the promise through the gospel." Many of the Israelites, the Jews, especially those of Jesus' day, believed that the salvation the Messiah came to bring was theirs, and only theirs. That it didn't belong to those who were not of the chosen people, the Israelites. It did not belong to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, the others, the nations. But those who believed that were mistaken. This was never the case. Yes, God had chosen the Israelites to be the people from whom the Savior would come, but salvation from God was always meant to be for all. Anyone who put their trust in the Messiah for the forgiveness of their sins would receive the forgiveness that Jesus came to win for all people. And this wasn't just something that was known just at the time of Jesus' birth. There were prophecies about this, that this would be the case. In fact, we read one of them from Isaiah, written 700 years before Jesus was born. A sample of that reading that we read earlier today says this, prophesies this about the coming Savior. It says, "But the Lord, Jehovah, will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah tells us, Gentiles will come to the light of Jesus. So we as Gentiles, non-Jews, we of course take great comfort from this truth, and we celebrate Epiphany for this reason. We have had the light and the salvation of Jesus revealed to us, namely that our sins have been forgiven and that we too will live forever with Christ. This revelation of our salvation for us sinners comes from God's grace and from His power, His undeserved love for us. And there was probably no one who understood that undeserved, unearned love of God more than the Apostle Paul. He writes in our text, "I became a servant of this gospel in keeping with the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of His power. To me, even though I am the very least of all the saints, was given this grace to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Why does Paul speak like that? Why does he say he's the least of all the saints, the least of all God's believers, the ones He's made holy? Well, we don't often think about the early time of Paul's life. We think of him as, oh, this man who wrote half the New Testament, this incredible apostle of God, a man who did miracles. But remember what Paul was like in his early years. He was a persecutor of the Christian church. He did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior. In fact, he thought Jesus was the enemy. And so were the ones who followed Jesus. Paul, just like us, was born dead in sin. And that sin, that unbelief, obviously ruled his life. But God stepped in. God rescued Paul out of his unbelief and made him not a denier and persecutor of Jesus, but made him his apostle, his missionary, and sent him especially to the Gentiles. By the grace and power of God, salvation was revealed to Paul, and by God's grace and power, Paul believed. Each one of us could come up with a large list of reasons why we don't deserve to have eternal life given to us. Each and every sin we've committed is a reason, a good reason, why we don't deserve eternal life. We could come up with all sorts of blessings, both physical and spiritual, that we know we do not deserve, but God showers them upon us every day anyway. And that is the beauty of the revelation of the mystery of Christ. No, we don't deserve salvation. But that's what God's love is. It is grace, literally undeserved love. That grace has brought salvation to us. And his saving power has effected saving faith in our hearts and lives. So we too can say with the Apostle Paul, to me, even though I am the very least of all the saints, was given this grace, this undeserved love of God. Now, as Paul writes in the last verse of our text, because God has revealed Jesus to us, in him, in Jesus Christ our Lord, we can freely approach God with confidence through faith in him, in Jesus. We have freedom, we have confidence, because the revelation of the mystery of Christ has been given to us by God's grace and his power. It has been revealed to us in his word. We have confidence going to the throne of God and to his throne of grace because we know that even though we are approaching the Almighty and Holy God, we are coming to him as his holy children because Jesus has washed us clean, washed all those sins away. We have confidence in facing whatever trials and tribulations of this life, whether it's drought or flood or any other trouble. We have confidence knowing that Jesus is right there with us, guiding, directing, working things for our good. He's revealed his presence to us in his word. He's pulled away those shades of darkness to show us that he is actually guiding and controlling things in this life and in this world, even in this universe, for our blessing. We can live confidently. We can live boldly because we have confidence through faith in our Savior Jesus Christ. This confidence we have is a result of God revealing the mystery of Christ to you by his grace and by his power. And finally, let's remind ourselves this morning that God has revealed this mystery of salvation to us by his grace and power, not just to save us, but also to save others. This mystery of God's salvation through Jesus has been revealed to us so that it might be also declared by us. Listen again to what Paul writes in our text in verses 10 and 11. He, God, did this so that through the church, that's us, his church, through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was done according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. As I mentioned earlier, Paul was called specifically to preach to the Gentiles. We too, like Paul, are called to declare this mystery, this light of salvation that's been revealed in Jesus Christ to those who are still walking in darkness. The eternal purpose of God, even when it was still hidden by and large to mankind, was that sinners would be saved. Step by step, generation by generation, God revealed his plan to us. We have the full revelation, the wonderful news of salvation accomplished by God fully in His Son Jesus. We have it written down for us right here in His own words, the Bible. We declare this mystery to others in order to accomplish the purpose which God had established even before time began. We are truly blessed to have this greatest mystery solved for us by God, who revealed the eternal salvation to us through His Son, Jesus. So let's appreciate and praise God for His epiphany, His revealing of Jesus to us. And then let's reveal that mystery to others. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in our church entryway. We'll continue with our prayers to the Lord. Are there any prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you came bringing light and life and hope to a world that lies in spiritual darkness and under the shadow of eternal death. As the Gentile wise men knelt and adored you, so we bow our hearts in praise to you, our Savior and King. O Holy Redeemer, you came once long ago to dwell for a time among our human race. We pray that you would come and graciously find a permanent dwelling in our hearts. Forgive our sins. Fill us with a joy and peace that comes through the sure hope of everlasting life. Day by day, increase our appreciation and trust for all that you've done to redeem us from our sins and make peace between us and God. As the wise men brought you gifts in token of their worship, so may we present to you the fruits of our faith, our hearts filled with love for you, our wills bound in holy obedience to your word, our minds eager to grasp the truths of salvation, our lips ready to declare these truths to others, our hands willing to give where help is needed, our earthly treasures freely shared with you, and finally our senses always alert to the sights and sounds of your reappearing. Dear Savior, keep us from backsliding into sin and unbelief. Precious Lord, praise also be to the Father in heaven, who by sending you to be our Savior, has commanded the light of the hope of everlasting life to shine in this sin-darkened world. We also praise the Holy Spirit, who has caused this light to shine gloriously in our own sinful hearts, delivering us from darkness of eternal death. Savior of the nations, light of the Gentiles, and the glory of Israel, shine your bright gospel beam of life and salvation to the farthest corners of this world, into the darkest recesses of human hearts, that people everywhere will be drawn to you. And lead us at last out of this evil world to the perfect light of heaven, where we will enjoy with all believers and angels, a life that will never end. We ask of this in your name, dear Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the light who shines on us and in us. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, Hail, O Source of Every Blessing. Thank you. Please rise. We continue our worship service on the top of page 10. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, We now join in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. You may be seated. During the distribution of the Lord's Supper, we'll begin with those who would prefer to take the Lord's Supper in their pews. I invite you to take out your communion packet. We begin first with the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now please take the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you. Now may this true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Mark, help me out. Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, keep you in the true Christian faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. I invite now those who would like to take the Lord's Supper to come forward to the usher at the direction of our ushers. Come forward to the altar at the direction of our usher. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true Christian faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace. Amen.
Thank you. I invite you to please rise. We continue with the singing of the Nunc Dimittis on page 13. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our worship today with the hymn, As With Gladness Men of Old. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you. And on behalf, I pray that the message you've heard today has blessed you and give you a warm greetings on this Epiphany Sunday from our Savior Jesus. A few announcements from the bulletin following our worship service today. We ask those who are able to stick around to help with the church on decorating. It's always kind of a sad day to take down the Christmas decorations. But alas, it must be done, and as you and I both know, we'll be putting them back up again before we know it. It'll be the Christmas season again, faster than I think we probably anticipate. Where is 2023 going already? It's the 8th day of January somehow. Following the service today, I'll be heading to Hayward for our East Bay Worship Service with Communion at 1 p.m., and we have our church council meeting with them at 2 p.m. today. Our Christmas break is also over for our St. Stephen Lutheran School. School resumes tomorrow at 8:15. Wednesday, we'll be having a parent meeting to discuss our plans for the upcoming grade school basketball tournament in Wisconsin that takes place in March. We are going to be joining with some of our other West Coast CLC schools. There's a few schools in Washington that will be joining us, and we're hopeful that we'll have a few, if not all, of our 5th through 8th graders participate in the tournament this year. Some of them are very excited to go. We haven't been for several years now because of the pandemic, and we're looking forward to getting to share in that fun and fellowship with other schools from our region and from our country that have Christian day schools like ours. So it should be a good time for them in March. Saturday, the 14th, we'll be having a work day here at church beginning at 9 a.m. We'll be taking down and moving or removing some of the items in the entryway and in the fellowship hall in preparation for painting, and then in preparation for the new flooring that's coming in. We're trying to get a start on this and start getting some of these things moved and changed around so that when we do actually paint and get the flooring in, we're not just going, well, what do we do with all the stuff that we either don't need or needs to get moved to different rooms? There'll be types of jobs for many different types of people. It's not just going to be all moving furniture. There are books and items that will need to be moved around or removed. So if you're able to come, please come on Saturday at 9 o'clock and let's see how much we can get accomplished in preparation for the what's going to be probably a transformation of a number of our rooms in our church building, which we're looking forward to. The actual installation is set to take place, I believe it's the 20th or 21st of February, so we need to get started on that now that we're in the new year. Next Sunday, we'll have our Bible class at 9 a.m., worship at 10 a.m. The Women's Auxiliary will meet after the service next Sunday at 11 a.m., and there will also be a crafting bee, Lord willing, next Sunday as well. Please check your mailboxes or the church entry for a January church calendar. It was emailed out earlier in the month, but there's a printed copy for you. If you'd like one, please pick them up. I believe those are all the announcements I have for today. Any other announcements? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.